Sunlight starts to illuminate the darkened earth. A multitude of shafts of bright light shoot up from the surface of the globe and pulsate as it spins in space. Land and blue sea become visible. In white lettering, the name Universal encircles the center of the spinning globe, fringed with flickering white light. The screen fades to black. A small oblong of white and blue appears in the center of the black screen. It expands into an animated bird's-eye view of swirling luminous white clouds and blue sky. In the center, a small oblong caption in white letters, Studio Canal. The caption remains against a black background. A glowing ball of yellow light flares in the center of a black screen. Three concentric white circles are drawn around the light. They become metallic, tipping and turning within each other like a gyroscope. A working title production, Universal Pictures and Studio Canal present a Peter Howitt film. It's night. A dark-haired man's face suddenly appears from behind shrubbery. The man, dressed in black, runs towards steep stone steps leading up to a chateau. Halfway up, he stops and turns. Chased by two savage guard dogs, he whips two grenade-shaped objects from his pocket. He squeezes one, then the other. He throws the squeaky grenades and the dogs chase away after them. Inside the chateau, the beady-eyed man drops into a room on a line. Two guns suddenly point at his head. He eyes the guns coolly.
The Heckler & Koch G-36. Quite deadly in the right hands.
Sneering, he takes the barrel of a gun in each hand, bangs them together, and then hurls them and their owners aside. He runs off through the dark chateau. The man enters an ornate room lit only by flames from a fire. He approaches a desk and takes out a document tied with a ribbon. The lamp next to him suddenly illuminates. A glamorous brunette aims a gun at him.
Agent One.
He cocks an eyebrow.
I've been so looking forward to this moment.
Well, in that case, I'll try not to disappoint.
You overestimate your power over women, Mr. English.
I'd say that would be virtually impossible.
Her large, Bambi-like eyes soften. English, with bushy eyebrows and a big nose, pushes aside her gun. Their faces are inches apart and their lips poised to kiss. English is asleep and dreaming in an office.
Sir! Have you got them? The mission documents. Agent One's flying to Biarritz tonight.
Yes, here's the mission documents. Bob, they're here somewhere, don't worry.
A tall, suave man walks in. English is awestruck and greets him.
Agent One.
Gentlemen.
He shrugs his black coat off his shoulders and tosses it towards a hook. It lands perfectly.
I'm here for my documents.
English gazes at One.
Boff, Agent One's documents, please.
English forgets he's already holding them. Boff pushes them.
thank you. Your mission documents, Agent One, including the codes for the submarine hatch, which I've checked myself.
English smiles fawningly.
Thank you.
So is it just France tonight, or will you be slipping over the Pyrenees as well?
If I told you that, I'm afraid I'd have to kill you.
Oh!
English and Boff smile inanely.
Yes, yes. Well, I expect you would if I had...
Cheerio, Agent One! Bonne chance! Arrivederci!
English turns to Boff.
Such distinction.
An aerial view of a country church. Captions, to MI7, all departments. Urgent, Agent One killed in action in Biarritz, submarine hatch failed to open. At the funeral.
Greatest secret agent England's ever had. Snuffed out in an instant.
Terrible.
English and Boff look at the ground.
Do you know what makes us envied the world over, Boff? That there's always another agent waiting to step into the breach.
Absolutely, sir.
And every last one of them is gathered round that grave. It is our honour and privilege to guard them while they grieve. Their lives are in our hands, Boff.
Pallbearers carry the coffin from the hearse, which speeds off. A strange tubular object is on top of the coffin. Boff waves down a black Jaguar as it heads for the church. English walks over to it.
Everything in order, English?
I think you'll find it's rather more than just in order, sir. You're now entering the most secure location in the whole of England.
A cloud of smoke rises by the church. English freezes. His eyes widen and slither sideways. At 10 Downing Street.
Pegasus, we face a national crisis. Agent One was clearly onto something, and we have to find out what. I need another agent on this immediately. Who else is there?
No one, Prime Minister. They all died in the explosion.
All of them?
Well, Luckily, there is one who survived.
Who?
One eye on the shadows, protecting us fellows.
English prances in front of a mirror in his vest and shorts. He strangles a coat stand with a tie. He shakes hands with himself in a mirror.
A stallion in the sack.
Rowan Atkinson, Johnny English. English bursts out of a sideboard pointing his fingers like a gun. He runs on a treadmill and suddenly goes backwards. He reads a book called Serious Spying. He tries on a flat cap in a mirror, then a fedora. He enters the vast doors of the special security section. A smart dark Crombie draped over his shoulders, English walks along imposing marble-floored corridors.
So charismatic, with an automatic, never prematurely shooting his load.
He assembles a pistol, points it at himself in a mirror, then notices there's no trigger. Starring Natalie Imbruglia, Ben Miller, and John Malkovich as Pascal Sauvage, Tim Pickett-Smith, Kevin McNally, Oliver Ford Davis, and Douglas McFerrin. Main title music performed by Robbie Williams.
Up a creek with no canoe, watch out for the man for our seasons. Love some and leave some alone, so alone, but safe at home.
English, his face elfin and rubbery, smiles smugly at his dark blue Aston Martin parked in a multi-story garage. As he walks through more marbled corridors, his confident demeanor fades as he becomes hopelessly lost.
Then you and I wouldn't have a clue who's doing what, why, when and who. Up a creek with no canoe, watch out for the man for all seasons. Love some and leave some alone.
By chance, he finds a large wooden door with the name Pegasus on it. He straightens his immaculately knotted tie and prepares to burst in on a glamorous brunette at a desk.
Right.
Johnny English, I'm here to see Pegasus. Still, no sense rushing things.
He throws his coat at a hook. It flies out of a window.
There are some items you need to sign before your briefing. This is your new retinal ID card. And this is your level 9 security clearance. Sign and date, please.
She hands him a chewed biro. He frowns and picks up a gold pen instead and examines it.
Oh, reminds me of the old service issue ballpoint. I remember every agent would carry a pen that looked just like this. Completely innocent to the untrained eye, but click it twice.
The secretary falls to the floor. Pegasus enters.
Ah, English. There you are. Have you seen my secretary?
English awkwardly sidesteps to conceal her body.
She went out.
Pegasus drops a file on the desk.
Shall we?
He motions to another room.
Now, Agent One believed that there was a plot to steal the crown jewels. Now, they've recently been through a multi-million pound restoration, largely paid for by a corporate sponsor, of course, and they're due to be unveiled tonight at the Tower of London. Unfortunately, the Queen is insisting that the ceremony goes ahead. So, what we want you to...
English spots paramedics with the body. Pegasus begins to follow his stare.
Ha!
He turns back to English and misses the action.
Who is the sponsor, sir?
Pascal Sauvage.
Well, that flouncy Frenchman who owns a couple of prisons.
Sauvage's £7 billion empire, English, operates over 400 prisons in 60 countries. He's built 25 of them here.
Right, sir.
The man's related to the royal family, for goodness sake. As far as the Prime Minister's concerned, he's one of the greatest friends England's got.
The limp body is put on a stretcher.
Now, English, any chink in security, any weakness, however slight, must be plugged immediately.
The body's wheeled off.
Do we understand each other?
Perfectly, sir.
Good.
Oh, yes.
And, English, we can't afford any mistakes. Not tonight.
The word mistake, sir, is not one that appears in my dictionary.
The Tower of London at night. English and Boff pull up at the entrance in the Aston Martin.
Fantastic!
In a crowded room, the sparkling crown jewels are in a high-tech cylindrical display case. An elderly man in a red jacket edged with gold approaches English, who's in evening dress.
Mr. English! Colonel Sir Anthony Chevenix, head of Royal Security.
Ah, Colonel, good evening. Snipers posted on the roof, as per my request.
13 of them.
Windows?
Refitted with bullet and shatterproof glass, as ordered.
A raven-haired young woman catches English's eye.
I shall now mingle inconspicuously with the guests. Let me know when Her Majesty arrives.
Very good.
Shall I mingle with you, sir?
Oh, yes, Boff. Once you've checked the roof.
Boff raises his eyebrows and looks resigned. English smugly moves away. He watches the dark-haired beauty in a backless black dress, then surreptitiously lifts a vase and briefly checks the bottom. Staring distractedly over his shoulder at the young woman's back, he frisks up the curtains in front of him, and then up a woman's dress. He swiftly draws the curtains over her and sidles over to the young woman with long dark hair.
Well, hello.
Her blue eyes look him up and down.
Hello yourself.
Johnny English.
He extends a hand.
Lorna Campbell.
She shakes it.
A Bloody Mary, please, not too spicy.
The passing waiter nods.
So, are you here in some professional capacity?
I worked on the restoration of the jewels.
Intriguing.
And yourself?
If I told you that, I'm afraid I'd have to kill you.
I'd like to see you try.
His languid conceit melts into a sickly expression. Chevenix greets a bony-faced man in a white tux.
Monsieur Sauvage, on behalf of Her Majesty, may I welcome you to the tower.
Sauvage bows.
So, are you here alone, Mr. English?
It's how I choose to live my life, Miss Campbell. Women want safety, security. I can offer them nothing but danger.
Some women find danger very attractive.
Women like you, Miss Campbell?
Women like me expect men like you to find that out for yourself.
He cocks an eyebrow. Sauvage comes up with a Bloody Mary.
Madame?
Oh, it's for me, actually. And could you rustle up some of those cheesy nibblers that are going around? Now, where were we?
You obviously haven't met our host, Monsieur Sauvage.
No, thank God. You know, I think I'd rather have my bottom impaled on a giant cactus than exchange pleasantries with that jumped-up Frenchman. As far as I'm concerned, the only thing the French should be allowed to host is an invasion.
English notices that Sauvage is still by him.
Sorry, can I help?
Pascal Sauvage, jumped-up Frenchman.
Lorna Campbell, I've been so looking forward to meeting you.
Enchanté.
But
of course, you're Johnny English. I've heard all about you. And between you and me, I'm not so keen on the French myself. But please don't tell them that. So let me go and search for your nibbly cheese.
Oh, no. I insist.
The French are, after all, fantastic waiters. The best in the world.
Well,
you wait here, and I will wait on you.
No, really, there's no... No, please.
English blows through his rubbery lips and shrugs casually at Lorna.
Les Français, ils sont very, n'est-ce pas?
A man drops down into a dark control room. He prizes open a fuse box door, then checks his watch. Sauvage addresses the guests.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, bienvenue, welcome tonight to this wonderful occasion. As we stand here in the Tower of London, the most famous prison in the world, where these wonderful jewels will rest safely under lock and key. I want to thank you for giving me this wonderful experience to contribute to the restoration of these jewels. It was, as we say in France, le top, le best of. Mm-hmm. And what a glorious time.
The man in the control room trips a switch. The Tower of London is thrown into darkness. Protective metal shutters clamp together around the jewel display case. English sees a man run by a window. He gives chase, picks up a bottle from an ice bucket, and waits in the shadows, bottle raised. English hits a passing man over the head. The lights return.
It's Colonel Chevenix!
Lorna tiptoes out.
Nasty wound, sir. Who hit him?
The assailant. He ran in here. Walk through the door.
English enters a room and hurls himself at something. The door shuts.
For God's sake, Buff! Don't come in, the man's a maniac!
The door's now ajar and a hand strangles English.
You don't frighten me! Miss!
Through the gap in the door, the crowd see objects flying and English pinned to a wall by a chair. Inside the room, English, pinning himself to the wall with a chair, struggles against his non-existent opponent. Outside the door, Boff cringes and the crowd watch open-mouthed. Behind the partly open door, English kicks his legs in the air karate style. He squeezes out tomato sauce. English appears at the door and staggers.
I have managed to subdue the assailant. The panic's over. Everything's under control.
He shuts the door and wipes the tomato sauce blood from his lips. Chevenix is stretchered out.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we should compose ourselves for the arrival of Her Majesty and return to the site
of our great nation's magnificently restored crown jewels.
He jabs at a button, the shutters lift, and he leans against the case, not spotting it's empty.
I know. I feel it too. The very symbols of our island nation. So close we could almost reach out and touch.
He notices the jewels are missing and starts to gibber.
Make silence for Her Majesty the Queen!
English's eyes bulge.
Oh, where are the jewels?
It's an unmitigated disaster, English.
I couldn't agree more, sir.
Well, we need to get these jewels back, English, and fast.
English sees the secretary passing in a wheelchair. She stares at him.
Tell me about this assailant. Because when they searched the room later, there was no sign of him.
Well, the man was clearly a professional. He must have escaped while the Queen was being sedated.
But he's the only lead we've got, English. We have to find him. Come in. This is Roger from Data Support. Please sit down. He'll produce a likeness based on your description. So tell us, what did this man look like?
Well, he was big.
Hair colour?
English glances at a bowl of fruit.
Orange.
Orange?
And curly. Well, frizzy, actually. Frizzy sort of thing.
Frizzy.
English thinks for a moment.
An eye patch. A broken nose. Very few teeth. Two, I would say, at the most. And a scar on his cheek. In the shape...
He looks grave.
...of a banana.
Which cheek?
Both cheeks. They sort of met in the middle.
Pegasus eyes English warily. Roger finishes the computer likeness. Pegasus picks up the laptop and looks at it in amazement. He shows it to English.
Are you sure about this, English?
Oh, yes. That's him. An uncanny resemblance. Well, it's just as if he's in the room with us.
The English's Aston Martin Boff discovers a panel of buttons in the armrest.
Wow. Look at this, sir. Got all the bells and whistles, isn't it?
Never mind about the gadgets, Boff. Just focus on the case.
English toots a policeman and a beefeater out of the way and pulls up outside the Tower of London by a no parking sign with a clamping warning. Boff looks at the sign hesitantly. English ignores it, breaks the police cordon tape and strides into the tower, where he fails to notice a large hole in the floor.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for waiting. Now, the question that faces us this morning is a simple one. Namely, how did the thieves gain access to this highly secure environment and then escape with the jewels afterwards? A simple question, but one which I believe has a complex answer.
Actually, sir...
Please, Bob, my mind is at work. Now, what you must grasp, gentlemen, is that the master criminal sees not a room, but a series of opportunities. Should I come in through the window?
The hole's behind him.
Possibly. Should I drop down from the ceiling? Perhaps.
Actually, sir...
If there's one thing I think we can be fairly confident about... That is that they didn't come up through the...
He steps back into the hole.
Got you, sir.
Right, that's all right. Just come my way, Bob.
Actually, that brings me right over the hole, sir.
Bob, there's no need to panic.
A view upwards from the bottom of the hole. English peers in.
Can you see the bottom yet, Bob?
Not yet, sir. The shaft appears to be narrowing. I'm just a little bit worried I might get stuck.
Trust me, Bob. You won't get stuck if you just keep moving.
Yes, sir.
Above the hole, the assembled police raise their eyebrows.
Right, okay, sir.
Are you at the bottom now, Bob?
No, I am in fact stuck now, sir.
Oh, for God's sake, Bob, stay there! I'm coming down.
He removes his jacket.
I'm not especially sure that's a good idea, sir.
Don't worry.
Be careful, sir!
Before his head disappears entirely down the hole, he addresses the cops who are looking on.
Gently does it.
English slips. His teeth are bared and his eyes bulge as he plummets down the shaft into pitch blackness.
You all right, sir?
Yes, I landed on something quite soft.
That was me, sir.
Ah, good.
There's an occasional glint of something metallic.
Well, now?
Well, there's no way back up there, that's for sure. But this must lead somewhere.
I'm, ever so slightly uncomfortable in the dark, sir.
There's nothing to worry about, Buff. It may be pitch black, but we can still see.
Can we, sir? How?
The Bedouin monks of the Almaghreb Mountains developed a system of sonic chanting.
I see, sir.
The sound of their chanting would bounce back off any obstacles, and using their highly tuned ears, they could paint a mental picture of the path ahead.
Brilliant, sir.
However, you must always sing in E flat. E flat. Thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing.
Is it working, sir?
Extremely well, thank you, Bob. Thanks for all the joy that... Ow!
You all right, sir?
Ow! I think we can see something, sir. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Their forms are shadowy and they move towards a crack of light. Suddenly, they find themselves looking up a circular, brick-lined shaft illuminated by light from above. Two metal ladders are attached to the walls. They start to climb up them. At the top is a grate. English raises it slightly. He and Boff peer out. Across a warehouse floor, two men are loading an orb and scepter into a coffin.
I knew it.
Should we call for backup, sir?
What? What is some fat bottom bobby make on arrest for us? I don't think so.
They draw their guns and burst out of the shaft.
Good morning, gentlemen. MI7 at your service. Observe, Boff, the dull incompetence of the criminal mind. It can never hope to match our level of technical expertise.
The magazine drops out of English's pistol. A dark-haired thug fires at them, and a blonde man holding a bejeweled crown chucks it in the coffin. English kicks his clip along the floor and takes cover with Boff behind another coffin. English reloads his gun. The robbers push the coffin in a hearse, hurl a smoke bomb, and drive off. The hearse smashes through the warehouse wooden doors and zooms away down a quiet city street. English and Boff give chase on foot. Behind them, Mona pulls up on her pink Triumph Speed Triple. She snaps her helmet visor shut and follows. The hearse speeds past two beefeaters, heads down a narrow shopping street and skids round a corner. English and Boff reach the beefeaters and then stop in their tracks when they see English's car is being lifted onto a truck.
You got it!
What do we do now, sir?
Watch and learn, Boff.
English and Boff drive off in the clamping truck, the Aston on the back.
No good, sir. They're too far ahead of us.
Have faith, Boff. They were heading south.
English, looking intrepid, swings the unwieldy truck into a cobbled pedestrian alley. The hearse whips round a corner and nearly bowls into a bevy of nuns crossing the road. The hearse stops.
There they are, sir!
Just as I thought.
The final nun crosses the road and the hearse speeds off again.
Hang on tight, Boff.
The truck bounces and bubbles as English flings it round a corner. Boff clambers out of the footwell back into his seat. The hearse and the truck dodge in and out of traffic, narrowly missing oncoming vehicles.
We're never going to catch them in this. Take the wheel, Boff. I'm getting in the Aston.
Sir?
English opens the driver's door and it's nearly clipped by an oncoming lorry.
Change places, Boff. We're getting out the other side.
Sir?
Boff slips into the driver's seat while English struggles over to the passenger door and opens it. Lorna, on her bike, weaves through the traffic behind them. English hangs outside the cab, one foot on the wheel arch and one on the trailer. As he shuts the cab door, he nearly falls but hangs on and grapples his way onto the trailer. Only just managing to keep his balance, he slips into the Aston and talks into his watch.
Set, Boff. Take me up.
Boff presses a button on a remote control. The Aston starts to rise in the air on a hoist. English fastens his seatbelt and talks into his watch again.
Swing me out, Boff!
Boff presses the remote control and the car, held front and rear by two hoists, swings out over the road.
Down!
Another press of the button and the car is lowered, but into oncoming traffic.
Up! Up!
The Aston rises just in time to let a car under it.
Sorry!
English heaves a sigh of relief. Suddenly he spots the hearse pull out of the line of traffic.
Boff, pull out!
Suspended over the side of the truck, the Aston swings about on the hoists, jolting English around.
Ow! Ow!
The blonde robber in the hearse turns and looks behind him.
Those idiots are right behind us. Faster!
The dark-haired driver, wearing shades, guns the engine, cuts across a car and skids the hearse round a corner. Boff follows in the truck, the Aston sticking out from its side like a flying swing. English, grimacing, sits tight in the car and then gapes as he notices they're approaching a speed camera. It takes a close-up black-and-white photo of English. He presses a rear missile button in the armrest control panel. It takes out the speed camera. English rubs his hands together and looks pleased with himself. He scans about him as if he's on a ride in the country, while Boff hangs on tight to the truck steering wheel as he chases the hearse. The hearse jumps a red light. Boff gets stuck at them. English spots the Triumph Speed Triple weaving through cars ahead and zooming off.
Drop me here, Boff!
The car abruptly drops to the ground. English is bounced around. Suddenly, he realizes the Aston is moving.
No!
The Aston has dropped onto a trailer being towed by a 4x4. English rams the Aston into reverse. In a cloud of smoke, it shoots backwards off the cradle, lands, spins and straightens up. English's buttock-clenched expression dissolves into a cocky smile as he then drives away. English pulls up for a moment to get his bearings and suddenly sees a hearse whiz across the top of the street. He guns the Aston, which takes off in a cloud of tyre smoke down a city road lined with parked cars. A hearse, tailed by the Aston, travels slowly down a busy London street.
Turning into the Brompton Cemetery. Well, get here as soon as you can. I'm going in.
In the hearse window is a wreath which says Dad. English, gun in hand, heads into the cemetery where there's a service.
In a wheelchair.
But Geoffrey overcame these terrible disabilities with that simple resilience and sunny optimism that so warmed all of us who knew him. Spending the rest of his life in the service of the poor and disabled of this parish.
It's very good. Really, very good. No, no, please. Go on, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's very entertaining. That priest act of yours should keep the other prisoners entertained for hours. Oh, I'm so sorry. Where are my manners? Johnny English, British Secret Service. And you are all under arrest. I must say, you've done this whole thing very well. The attention to detail is excellent. You, the grieving granny, you're very convincing. Oh, look. Real tears. Do you get paid extra for that? Ah! What we're all here for. I know. Why don't we take a look inside? Oh, you've nailed it down.
He stands on the coffin.
Why would you do that? I know you're going to come back in 2 weeks and dig it up again.
He does a dance.
Now, what are you playing in this little vignette of deceit and villainy?
I'm the hearse driver.
You're the hearse driver?
Yes, sir.
English arches an eyebrow and stares.
You're the hearse driver?
Yes, sir.
Ah! Aha! There you are! Gunter. I do hope he hasn't made a nuisance of himself. I'm Dr.
English frowns and glares at Boff.
Boff? Of the Lunatic Response Unit? I'm afraid Gunter here wasn't supposed to be released until 2028. Isn't that right, Gunter? Yes, yes, there's been the most monumental cock-up. If you'll excuse me with the deepest respect, utmost sympathy. He hasn't urinated on anyone, has he?
Oh, no.
It's a blessing. Are you going to give me the gun, Gunter?
Still atop the coffin, English, his shoulders sagging, slowly hands Boff the gun.
Yeah, that wasn't too difficult, was it?
English shakes his head.
Are you going to come home now?
Boff offers a hand.
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh, in the van. Yes, yes, we are going in the van. Yes, yeah. Boom, boom. Yes, yeah. Yes, he's waving goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, come on. Mind the nice dead people. There we go.
They step over gravestones. Boff pretends to draw strings through his ears.
We'll just go to the path here. There, big step. It's a graveyard. It's where they bring people when
yes,
they
yes,
pass.
Yes, all right, Boff, you can stop now.
For appearance's sake, I'll just hold your arm, sir.
Yes, yes.
I think we did all right.
I'll just keep walking, Boff. In fact, run, run, run!
A view up the side of a tall skyscraper. Hands remove a bejeweled crown from a coffin.
I can't believe I've done this. I mean, I really cannot believe I've done this!
Sauvage raises the crown in the air, sits down and faces the hearse crew.
You see, 200 years ago, my family should have inherited the throne of England.
But they were cast aside.
Well, in a few very short days, it will be back where it belongs.
He points to his name on a genealogical chart.
With me. Shall I try it on? Yes? No? Maybe?
To make you king, we need the Archbishop of Canterbury to do that.
The Archbishop of Canterbury is being taken care of even as we speak.
A caption appears in a viewfinder. Target locked. The Archbishop is freeze-framed and photographed from all angles. On a laboratory computer screen, a caption, prosthetic scan complete. Lasers have carved a recreation of the Archbishop's head.
There's only one thing, sir. What are we going to do about English?
Sauvage waves a DVD.
If I were you, I wouldn't worry too much about English. He is no threat to us. I had his flat bugged.
He inserts the disc. English appears on a screen. Wearing a vest, he makes COD karate moves. The robbers watch bemused. English does a karate kick, winces with pain, and holds his knee. Sauvage, with long, lanky, greying blonde hair, raises his eyebrows and shrugs at his men. A rubber duck moves across the screen. English karate chops it and sneers.
Clearly, the aptly named English is a fool.
He might be a fool, but he's a fool who keeps showing up.
Well, the next time he shows up, eliminate him.
Thank you.
Dieter Klein and Klaus Vendetta, sir. Released from prison 6 months ago. 327 convictions between them. Armed robbery, grievous bodily harm, combined parking fines of more than £400.
Yes, all right, thank you, Bob. I think we get the picture. The point is, sir, that Vendetta and Klein are both in the employ of Monsieur Sauvage.
Pascal Sauvage?
Precisely, sir.
But you're not suggesting Sauvage is involved?
I think he's more than just involved, sir. I'm convinced he's up to his French neck in it.
Don't be absurd. Sauvage employs thousands of people. Just because two of them are villains doesn't mean that he is. But no, I want him discounted from this investigation immediately.
Yes, sir.
Pegasus snootily puts on his jacket. The Crim's pictures are still up on the high-tech screen.
All right. Tonight I shall be at Sauvage's reception for the new French ambassador. Any developments? You can reach me there. Apart from that, I don't want you within 100 miles of the man.
Absolutely, sir.
Requisition order. MI7 quartermasters for immediate supply. One military transport plane, fully fueled, with permission for nighttime city overflight. Two night camouflage parachutes, plus reserves, plus neoprene bodysuits, twice, in black. I've never liked the navy blue. And a 40-inch chest for me, because I need the sleeve length. Morning, Felch.
Morning.
Oh, and two special forces signet rings, primed and color-coded.
What's all this for, sir?
For tonight's operation, Buff. We're going to break into Sauvage's headquarters.
But I thought Pegasus...
You let me worry about Pegasus. I know that Sauvage is behind all this, and tonight we're going to get the evidence to prove it.
English stops walking.
Something wrong, sir?
Did that sound like Felch to you?
They turn and look behind them. Further back down the underground car park, a man on a crawler board zips out from under the car and shoots at them. He whips off a beanie hat. It's Klaus Vendetta. Glass shatters like rain as they run for cover. Blonde-haired Vendetta sprays bullets everywhere, then dumps his empty gun. English takes aim. The barrel of his gun falls off. Boff shoots at Vendetta, who runs up a ramp. English starts to do sign language. He raises 10 fingers, bangs one fist on top of the other, flutters his fingers as if counting, and makes a wavy movement with his hand. Boff looks perplexed. Realizing he's got it wrong, English tries more signs but gives up. He points a finger at Boff, then at the floor above.
Upstairs.
Boff nods. Gun at the ready and crouching as he runs, he heads up the ramp and dives behind a silver saloon. On the level below, English peers out from behind a pillar and then tiptoes along a row of cars. English is tripped on the crawler board. Boff bobs up briefly from behind a car to check the scene. Wiping his hands on his tie, English stealthily makes his way up a ramp to the next level and hides behind the wheel arch of a car. Behind him, Vendetta flits up to the next floor. English, turning to check about him, chases across to the other side of the parking bay and crouches behind another car. Boff runs up to the next level. His feet show beneath the cars as he runs. He peers around a tail light and sees Vendetta. English speaks into his watch.
Can you see him, Boff? He's on the upper level, sir.
Boff replies into his watch. Suddenly, English spots a pair of trousered legs on the floor above and smiles.
Got him.
Concentrating on his target, English slowly edges towards the legs. His eyes are wide, gleaming, and intense.
And like a coiled viper, he strikes.
He lunges at the legs. Boff falls forwards. Vendetta scans around and runs.
So what you're saying, sir, is there must have been two of them?
Ooh, at least, Buff. Possibly four.
I wonder why I didn't see them.
You mustn't dwell on your mistakes, Buff. You must learn from them and move on.
Yes, sir.
English glances shiftily at Boff, who's nursing a bloody nose.
So where were you, sir?
Just drop it, Boff!
English pulls up hard. Boff nearly smashes his nose on the dashboard.
Oh. What is it, sir?
That bike.
The Triumph speed triple.
You get things sorted out tonight.
He slips out of his seatbelt and gets out of the car. He enters a sushi bar where dishes trundle past customers sitting at a bar which has a conveyor belt. Chefs prepare food on the other side of the bar. Looking inscrutable, English approaches Lorna and sits by her.
Well, well, we meet again.
Mr. English, what a pleasant surprise. I wondered when you might show up again.
On the contrary, Miss Campbell. It's not I who keep showing up. It's you.
Do you like sushi?
She nods towards the food.
Oh, sushi? Oh, I practically live off the stuff. You might say the mysteries of the Orient are no mystery to me.
He picks up a set of chopsticks which are joined at the top and fumbles with them. Lorna smiles to herself, snaps her chopsticks apart and rolls them in her hand. English does likewise.
Sake?
Sake.
They raise their sake cups.
Kanpai.
Cheers, says Lorna. May all your daughters be born with three bottoms, English replies. They chink the tiny white handleless cups together and drink. Lorna's bemused. English takes a plate of food off the conveyor belt.
Now then, perhaps you can explain how it is that I run into you at two crime scenes and then can't find any record of you on a single government computer.
Shouldn't you ask the government that?
I am the government, and I'm asking you.
A piece of food drops out of his chopsticks. He tries in vain to pick it up again.
Let me.
She picks up a sliver of food.
You're brave. They say that sea urchin's the ultimate acquired taste.
It's a personal favourite of mine.
She pops it in his mouth. He puts on a brave face and chews.
I think people are put off by how it feeds through its bottom.
He stops chewing.
Would you excuse me for a moment?
After she's left, he starts to gag. Holding his hand to his mouth, he looks around him, then stands up and spits the sea urchin out over the bar. As he leans over the conveyor belt, his tie gets caught and he's dragged down the bar, scattering people and dishes. Lorna zooms off.
Sorry, I'm from MI7. Sorry, I'm a secret agent, I am.
An aerial view of a city at night. The nose of a military transport plane appears in the sky, and the craft glides over the city like a shark. On board, English and Boff are sitting in their bodysuits, balaclavas, and parachute harnesses.
Everything's set, Boff?
Just about, sir. Actually, sir, do you mind if I run through the plan one more time?
No, no.
These are the two buildings here. This one is our target, Savage's headquarters, right next to the city hospital. I jump first and land on the south side of the roof, abseil down 14 floors, and cut through this window here.
I then land on the east side of the roof and abseil down 12 floors.
Where you wait for my signal that I've disabled the alarm system.
Yes.
You then break into this window here, work your way along the secure corridor, and penetrate Savage's office.
Yes, yes.
Is that okay, sir?
It's been okay ever since I thought up the idea, Bob.
Animated graphics over, Boff snaps his laptop shut. The plane's cargo doors open.
I nearly forgot, sir! Your laser beacon!
My what?
Your laser beacon! It'll guide you onto Sauvage's building!
Your dependence on hardware really does amuse me, Boff. I've been dropped into the Kalahari Desert, carrying nothing more than a toothbrush and a packet of sherbet lemons. And I still found my way to Bulawayo before Ramadan. So thank you, Bob, but no thank you.
Helmets in hands, they make for the cargo door. A green light flashes.
Bob, go! You're rolling on!
Boff jumps, and after a few seconds, his parachute opens. He glides down towards two tall skyscrapers, both with a glass pyramidal roof. He checks his altimeter. The lights of Savage's HQ and the surrounding landscape twinkle in the darkness as Boff guides himself towards the building and lands on the roof. He unclips his harness and attaches a carabiniere to a metal rail. He abseils down the building.
Fandango!
English jumps. Boff neatly lasers a hole in an office window. English, scanning the darkness around him, then studies a crudely drawn street map attached to his wrist as he drifts down. Boff nimbly swings into the office through the hole he's created. English lands on his target unclips his harness, attaches the carabiniere, and looks down. He abseils partway down the building and stops at a window of one of the floors.
Right.
Boff's head pops round a corner in a shiny floored corridor. Gun drawn, he trots to a control box and opens the door. Meanwhile, English lasers a hole in a window. Boff attaches wires from the control box to a gizmo he has and then whispers into his watch.
Alarm's disabled, sir.
Roger that, Boff.
English swings towards his hole in the window. He falls backwards onto the floor as he swings in. Picking himself up, he unclips his abseiling equipment, removes his helmet and then his balaclava. Gun poised, he sets off cautiously through the building. English opens an office door and peers out into a corridor. He runs off into it. Rounding a corner, he stops and aims his gun. He moves forward tentatively and then does a double take when he notices a sign by a door. It reads, Laboratory. Another reads, Neurology.
This is worse than I thought, Buff. Savage has got some kind of laboratory set up here. God knows what kind of sick operation he's running.
A door opens and an elderly man in a white coat comes out. English ducks out of sight into a doorway and then, when the man's gone, makes his way down the corridor to the door. He bursts in.
My God, what have they done to you?
An old man.
They've taken some of my blood. It's only for tests.
Of course it is. Come on, my friend, let's get you out of here before they take anything else.
The man wheels out his drip stand. The old man in his pyjamas and dressing gown makes his way down a corridor followed by English. A door opens.
Good evening, Dr. Frankenstein. This way, please. Come on, I've got all night.
He waggles his gun at the man in a white coat.
And you, you angels of death. About turn. Come on, let's go. Come on, keep moving. Come on, over there.
They enter a ward.
I know what you're doing here. And you! Come on, quicker. Come on, over there. Now then, perhaps you could direct me to your evil paymaster.
What are you talking about?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Where is the office of Pascal Sauvage?
All the medical staff slowly turn their heads towards the ward window. English, his gun trained on the doctor, three female nurses and two male nurses, gradually follows their line of sight. Outside the window on the building opposite is a blue neon sign that reads, Sauvage. English's bulbous eyes stare down at Boff, who's standing in an office in the Sauvage building. Boff waves to him hesitantly and then speaks into his watch.
Are you coming over here in a minute, sir?
English lowers his gun and turns back to his prisoners.
I'm from MI7. This has been a test of your emergency response systems, and I have to say you've all done extremely well. Right, well, I'll leave you to it and get well soon.
He throws them a casual smile. Outside the office block, he puts his hand to his head and hunches over.
Oh, God!
Looking up, he suddenly notices people coming and going from Sauvage's high-tech steel and glass building. Gun still at the ready, he ducks and dives towards the building and hides behind a pillar. As Pegasus enters, Boff appears from a door behind English.
Sir!
Boff urgently nods him towards the door. Once through it, Boff shuts it. Guns in hand, they stand for a moment.
Did you just land on the wrong building?
I did a precautionary sweep of the immediate environment.
Right.
English's confidence falters slightly.
And everything was fine.
They both nod.
Okay, let's go.
The steel skyscraper towers in the darkness. Inside, Sauvage, in a long flowing coat, walks along a corridor with a woman. English watches from round a corner. He creeps after them. Boff follows but steps back when a guard pops out of an office and puts a gun to English's back.
This is my enough.
The guard takes English's gun.
Well, good evening. Perhaps you'd like to have this as well.
What is it?
Let me show you.
He whacks the guard with a spiked ring. Boff coshes the guy.
Well executed, Boff. But completely redundant.
How do you mean, sir?
Super strength, muscle relaxant. When he wakes up, he'll be as floppy as a damp old sock.
They drag the body around a corner. English suddenly moves towards a frosted glass window. People are moving around behind it.
What's this?
They run to a double door with six porthole windows and peer through. Men in white coats are putting a rubber mask onto a balding man. His hands are crossed over his crotch, and he's wearing nothing but a purple shirt which hangs off his shoulders, and black undershorts.
That's the face of the Archbishop of Canterbury.
They peep into the laboratory again. The man now has fair, balding hair.
What are they doing?
The technicians mould the mask to the man's face and tweak his hair.
What's this got to do with the crown jewel?
The man turns and bends over to pull on trousers. Above the low-slung waistband of his shorts at the base of his spine, there's a tattoo. Jesus is coming, look busy. English and Boff flatten back against the wall in shock, then take another peep as the lookalike is led away. English and Boff enter the laboratory, which is more like a hairdresser's salon with lots of products on shelves. The barrels of their guns point upwards as they stealthily survey the room. English points to another double door, and they go through it. In Sauvage's minimalist office, walled by numerous panes of opaque glass, English spots the genealogical chart on a glass-top table. He accidentally nudges the DVD player, and Sauvage and graphics appear on screen.
English, a people whose empire once covered one quarter of the surface of the earth. Alas, no longer. Now my friends ask me, Pascal, how can you be so interested in such a backward, grotty little country? My answer is simple. The Queen. The Queen has more power in her tiny white gloves than any other head of state in the entire world. She can declare war or make peace, and most intriguingly, she can seize any piece of land which takes her fancy. Of course, the Queen never uses the enormous power afforded to her. But imagine someone who would use that power. Imagine, say, me.
His ghoulish face stares out of the screen.
How could he do that, sir? How could he make himself king?
They stare back.
The Archbishop.
A noise scatters them. English hides behind the door. It opens and hits him in the face when Dieter Klein comes in, pointing a gun. English creeps up behind Klein.
Hands up. There's a good fellow. Heavily armed for a late night at the office, wouldn't you say, Boff?
You fool. English, you'll never get out of the building alive.
I'd save your breath for my questioning.
I'm not telling you anything.
Incorrect.
English has another spiked ring.
Sodium pentothal. I won't lie to you. It's a truth serum.
He jabs Klein.
Now then, why does Sauvage want to have himself crowned?
You have no idea what's going on here, do you? It would be funny if it wasn't so blablabla.
What?
He's talking gibberish, sir.
Yes, I can hear that, Boff.
The dark-haired thug drops.
He's collapsed onto me, sir.
Yes, I can see that, Boff.
You don't think he could have got the syringes mixed up to you, sir?
What do you mean?
Well, give him the guard outside the truth serum and give him Klein the muscle relaxant.
He checks his rings and accidentally jabs himself.
Don't be ridiculous, Boff. I think I know my right from my left.
He staggers.
Sir?
English's leg develops a twitch which he tries to steady.
Boff, take Sludge.
Take what, sir?
Sludge. Sludge.
I'm not quite getting that second word, sir.
Sludge.
Write it down, sir.
Sludge.
Klein has joined in. English scrawls in spasms.
C-A. Car! Take the car! We didn't come by car, so we came by plane.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Brother office.
Hold it right there.
Two armed guards.
What's wrong with them? Well, they got their... I'm not telling you.
Wrong answer.
Lorna drops the guards.
What is it with you two?
English tries to get up and falls over, twitching.
Let's get out of here.
Sorry, but who are you exactly?
Special Agent Candle. I'm attached to Interpol in Paris. We've been watching Sauvage for months.
Why?
Because every major convict released from a Sauvage prison in the last 6 months has been employed by one of his companies. We believe he's recruiting them for a major criminal conspiracy. We just don't know what yet.
Preverton!
They look down at English.
What did he say?
Preverton! We have to report to Preverton!
Oh, no, sir. No, 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 no!
How do we get out of here?
What you did to me really hurt.
It's the first guard they drugged.
Yeah, sorry about that. How do we get out of here without being seen?
Okay. Left by the water fountain, yeah. Or right by the fire exit, yeah. Then to the elevator at the end.
Thank you. Oh, my God!
Nice work, Doc.
Boff pistol whips the guard.
You can't go to Sauvage's reception in this state.
The effect of the drug is practically worn off, Boff. I'm Schlein.
Boff sighs and glances at Lorna. They rip off their bodysuits to reveal their smart clothes. English, dressed in a white tux, strolls into Sauvage's reception. A waiter hands him a glass of champagne.
Monsieur.
English's hand won't grip. The glass slips through his fingers.
So like a muzzle?
English grips the wrist of his semi-paralyzed hand, takes the champagne flute, and squeezes his fingers tightly around the stem. It breaks.
Thank you.
He saunters on, holding the glass with its stem at a right angle. His arm spasms and his drink spills over a fat woman.
What in God's name?
Ah, a foreign secretary.
He collapses into her cleavage.
Yes.
She whacks him and he spins round.
Shall we dance?
Lorna has caught him. She props him back up and leads him by the hand onto the dance floor. Dazed, he rubs his face. Lorna, in a halter-neck black top and a calf-length black skirt, holds on to English as he dances on the spot, stiffly moving one leg backwards and forwards in time to the music. Sauvage spots him out of the corner of his cold blue eyes. English's white leg slides backwards, and he pulls it upright again. As Lorna and English jig around together, English and Sauvage eyeball each other. Lorna pushes English out of Sauvage's line of sight. Dieter Klein comes up to Sauvage and whispers. They walk away together. Lorna's dancing with her back to English when he suddenly falls out of sight. She turns around and looks for English and then spots him on the floor. She picks him up. Boff goes up to Pegasus.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes,
I'm very sorry to interrupt.
Ah, Pascal, how nice to see you again.
Enjoying the party?
How splendid a fellow.
I was until I was informed that your man English and his curious boyfriend here has spent the evening breaking into my office and assaulting my staff.
Is this true, Boff?
Well, we...
Still dancing, Lorna and English part and spin. English ends up in a dance position with Pegasus. In a quiet room, Pegasus pushes English against a partition window.
What in God's name do you think you're up to?
Well, sir, if I could just offer...
Go home, Boff! Now!
Boff leaves.
I gave you direct orders not to meddle with Sauvage. What do? You break into his office and assault two of his staff. Then you march in here, loaded with God only knows what, and insult the Foreign Secretary. I haven't encountered such behaviour in Whitehall in 30 years.
But...
There are no buts, English. You're off the case. Your security clearance is hereby cancelled. After a three-month leave of absence, you will return at your old grade. And I hope never to hear your name again.
Pegasus glares at him and goes. English's dark eyes are wide and sad, and he shakes his head slightly in disbelief. Sauvage watches him on a black and white screen. Leaning against the partition window, English slides miserably down onto his haunches. Sauvage clicks the control off. English leaves the Sauvage building. His black tie is undone, and his hands are thrust in his pockets as he strolls along in the night, his eyes cast towards the ground. Lorna watches him wistfully through a window. Torrential rain starts to fall as English slowly walks across an empty plaza. His black shoes shine in the darkness as he makes his way down steps awash with bouncing raindrops. Lorna, still watching, looks down for a moment, then turns away from the window. English sits in a darkened room, elbow on knee and head resting against his hand. He stares at the floor. Sauvage is on the phone.
English has seen too much. We go to plan B. Get rid of the fake Archbishop and greenlight the visit to Her Majesty, and then this pathetic country can humiliate itself by crowning me officially.
A slow, evil smile creeps across his face as he puts down the phone. A hand in a black leather glove throws the Archbishop's rubber head into a burning furnace. A caption, the Queen's residence at Sandringham. It's nighttime. Armed men run through the grounds. Vendetta bursts into the Queen's study and slams a paper on her desk. His heavies have her bodyguards covered with guns.
That's a letter of abdication renouncing your claims to the throne and the claims of your entire family.
He whips out his pistol.
Sign it.
At gunpoint, she picks up a fountain pen and studies the typed letter, which bears a royal crown. She slams down her pen.
Never!
Vendetta picks up a corgi and puts a gun to its head. The dog's eyes are baleful. The Queen picks up her pen again and signs the paper. The Prime Minister receives a call in bed.
Yes?
Prime Minister, I'm sorry to call so late, but I'm afraid the Queen has abdicated.
What?
Abdicated? But that's not possible.
I only wish that were true.
You know what? Let me talk to her. Maybe she just...
Pascal, she's gone.
Now, my people have spent the last 10 hours trying to track down the rightful heir to the throne, and they've come up with a name, which they've double-checked.
Sauvage is nonchalant.
Who is it?
It's you.
No!
Klein drops a holdall outside a police station.
In the wake of the return of the Crown Jewels to a police station in North London, Pascal Sauvage has requested that his coronation take place this Thursday. In the House, the Prime Minister said he was looking forward to the ceremony, and he believed that Monsieur Sauvage will make a fine king and will bring all that is best about modern Europe to our ancient institution.
English finishes throwing darts at Sauvage's picture and turns off the radio. Unshaven, he answers the door. It's Lorna.
Get your car keys. We've got work to do.
Miss Campbell.
Sauvage is heading back to his chateau in France, and he's invited 13 of the richest criminal masterminds in the world to meet him there.
I'm sorry, Miss Campbell. I'm off the case. It's been reassigned.
I know. Reassigned to me.
Still in his white tux, he nods wearily.
Look, I want you with me, Johnny.
Look, just leave me alone.
What are you going to do, sit here in this grotty flat feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you going to get out there and save your country?
He glances sideways and thinks.
I'm going to sit in the flat.
Oh, Johnny, this is ridiculous.
I'm a spent force.
He rapidly blocks a karate chop from her. He eyes her conceitedly, turns away, and secretly nurses his arm. She attacks him. He blocks her moves. His forearm is across her throat. She dangles his car keys in front of him. He looks into her eyes and reaches for them. She drops them in his hand and they leave.
I'll just be a minute.
He traps his jacket in the door. Stuck, he searches frantically for his door keys. The Aston Martin zooms along in the outside lane of a dual carriageway that winds down through countryside to the sea. A man sticks a poster up of Sauvage wearing a crown. The Aston heads for Dover Ferry Terminal. A printing machine produces banknotes with Sauvage's crowned head on them. Northern France, the Aston speeds along. Stamps of Sauvage. Cows back away from a fence as the Aston whizzes past them. It skids round a hairpin bend. The Aston is parked outside a cafe. English pops round the cafe door and peers through binoculars at Sauvage's imposing chateau atop a rock in the dusk. He goes back inside the cafe and sits at a table with Lorna.
It'll be nightfall in an hour, then we can strike out for the chateau. The fact is, the moment Sauvage gets that crown on his head, he'll be able to do whatever he likes with the country that I love. And that is why you and I have got to stop him.
Her languid blue eyes stare fondly at him.
Relishing the thought?
Something like that.
English looks down at the table.
I suppose you've made love to lots of women, haven't you, Johnny?
Stubbly-chinned, he looks askance and hesitates.
One does one's best.
He feigns a wolfish smile.
It's just... Well, it's been 3 years since my fiancé left me, and well, since then I haven't made love to anyone. But then I met you. And I felt this hunger deep down inside. I wanted to say things to you. I wanted to do things to you that I haven't wanted to do in a very, very, very long time.
He looks cautiously over his shoulder, then back at Lorna.
What sort of things are we talking about?
Things like punching you in the face. Things like kicking you in the backside for being such a pompous know-nothing. But then I started to see beyond the idiot that everybody else saw. I started to see the man on the inside. The man who was determined to do his duty no matter what or who lay in his way. And I began to feel other things for him. To want to do other things for him.
Things involving plastic toys and soft cheese.
Lorna scowls.
What?
What?
He comes too.
You're toying with me, aren't you? You're telling me to stop in the gentlest way you know how.
No.
You're such a special person, Johnny. Not to take advantage of me while I'm vulnerable.
No, well...
So thank you for being such a gentleman.
She takes his hand. His sad eyes look dreamy.
Not at all.
It's dark. A small fishing vessel bobs up and down on a choppy sea. Yellow lights shine out from Sauvage's chateau, which sits high on an island. English, still in his white tux, and Lorna, in a leather jacket and black trousers, pick their way across a rocky beach. they arrive at a drainage outlet at the bottom of an almost vertical cliff face below the chateau.
I know what you're thinking, Miss Campbell. You're thinking if we don't pull this off, God knows what might happen to England.
Actually, I was thinking there must be a better way in than that pipe.
He glances at the outlet.
Well, there isn't. I've analysed it from every possible angle, and this is the best option. I'll go in first, and if there's a clear way through, I'll call down, OK?
He draws his gun and ducks inside the pipe.
Johnny! Be careful.
I'm always careful.
He bangs his head on an open sluice gate. Lorna looks skywards. English makes his way up into the dark pipe. The wind blows through Lorna's long dark hair as she waits near the outlet pipe. She canters over to have a look up it. English is struggling up, pushing his hands and feet against the sides of the pipe. Lorna spots a metal ladder running up the rock face and starts to climb it. As English works his way up the pipe, he sniffs and grimaces. A line of men, some reading, sit on a communal lavatory. English nears the top of the pipe where there's light. A man flushes a chain and everyone gets off the communal lavatory. Savage in his baronial dining room.
Gentlemen, in a few hours' time, I will become the next king of England.
English's head, covered in sewage, pops up from one of the holes in a line of toilet seats. He lifts up the seat and climbs out. Both hands on his gun, he takes aim one way and then another. Lorna progresses up the ladder on a rock face. English spots himself in a mirror and scrabbles at one of the toilet rolls which are strung out across the back of the lavatory. Lorna runs along the chateau corridor. A door opens. She hides behind it. English creeps out. She jumps him but recoils with her hands over her face.
How did you get here?
Up the ladder.
Look, pull yourself together. It's only a bit of poo.
She pushes him into a shower. Fully dressed, he dances around as she turns the cold water on him.
Hot cold! What is the one commodity the world never seems to run out of? Criminals, gentlemen, law breakers. Every nation in the world struggles with the issue of overcrowded prisons.
English, clean again, creeps along a corridor near the grand dining hall. Lorna follows. They scurry into a minstrel's gallery and hide behind the wooden balcony. Their eyes peep over the rail at the diners below.
Fortunately, I have found a solution. We empty every prison on the entire planet. We take the resulting tidal wave of human scum and we put it here.
The screen showing a computer graphic presentation of the British Isles.
The moment I am crowned king, I will turn England into the largest prison in the history of the world.
A vast computer-drawn prison.
210,000 square miles of prime real estate, conveniently separated from true civilization by 20 miles of ocean, and soon to be available for the entire world to dump its human waste in. According to current projections,
English spots the DVD player below.
Next 500 years. So, tonight, one and only one of you will leave here owning 49% of this venture.
So that's his little game. We must get hold of that DVD.
But how, Johnny? There's only two of us.
He leans on a button.
Young, Miss Campbell, and inexperienced. What you seem to have forgotten is that nobody knows we are here.
His voice booms out.
Vital element of surprise. Now, my plan is simple but effective. I shall drop from the gallery at this end of the room and take Savage prisoner. You will then enter from the far door, cutting off any means of escape. Then, using Savage as a hostage, we'll get the hell out of here. Clear?
Savage nods in agreement. English leaps down from the gallery. Savage looks bored.
Get him up, you French ponce.
But, Mr. English, I'm gobsmacked. What an unexpected surprise.
Surprises are very much my speciality, Savage. I think we've seen enough of this.
He fumbles with a DVD and drops it.
I know exactly what you're planning. and I'm here to put a stop to it.
He picks up the wrong disc.
My bottom will be King of England before you are.
Wrong again? Perhaps you'd care to look behind you.
Oh, please.
Four thugs with guns are behind him.
Lola!
Vendetta pushes her in at gunpoint.
I'm sorry, Johnny.
English's face drops.
Well, I'm afraid that we'll have to conclude the floor show for tonight.
Not so fast, Savage. You may have taken me, but you'll never take England. Not as long as I have breath in my body or a bullet in my gun.
Sewage spews out of the gun. English scowls and looks down at the barrel of his gun. Sauvage smiles.
You know, Mr. English, I'm going to miss you. Really. You're very entertaining. I thank you. Take them away.
An aerial view of London. The River Thames is silver in the sunlight.
Good morning, everybody. Bonjour tout le monde, and welcome to the breakfast show. Bienvenue au spectacle du petit déjeuner. And as the crowds are gathering here for the crowning of our first French king since the year 1066, we asked you to call us here at London FM with the top 10 things you most love about the French. We haven't had any calls yet, at all, but the lines are still open, and I'll give you that number again, encore une fois, 0207-02.
Crowds of people wave Union Jacks. English and Lorna are in a cell.
This is not good, Johnny.
We've got to think of something.
He spots the lock on the cell door.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea.
Tied back to back, they hop to the door.
Hop and stop. Now, are you familiar with the shaman throat warblers of the Guatemalan Delta?
What?
It has long been their belief that a whistle pitched at the precise resonant frequency of a metal lock will vibrate the levers in such a way that the door will simply swing open.
Unbelievable.
And kneel.
His face is now at lock level.
Right. Here goes.
He whistles into the lock. Lorna sighs. His eyes are wide and his lips puckered as he stares at the lock.
I can't hear anything.
I'm into ultrasonic.
Johnny, will you just stop all this and face facts? We've failed. The only thing that can save us now is a miracle.
Boff's head pops up through one of the empty communal toilet seats. English blows into the lock.
It worked! Oh!
Sir?
The road. Lorna holds a hanky to her nose.
I don't know why you hauled yourself up that dreadful poo tube, Boffman. There's a perfectly good ladder right beside it.
Lorna glares at him.
Now, Savage may have fooled the country with his fake archbishop and his secret agenda, but he hasn't fooled me.
The DVD.
So, here's the plan.
Lorna takes a breath from behind her hanky. The sun shines down on hordes of people waving their flags as the Queen's, now Savage's, golden coach is drawn down the Mall by 8 white horses. In India, a family watches the parade on TV. People in a log cabin watch their TV as footmen in red and gold walk briskly alongside the coach. Australians in the outback watch TV as a flypast leaves trails of blue and red. In Westminster Abbey, an aerial view of 4 footmen walking beside the train of Savage's long blue velvet cloak, richly embroidered with gold. Members of the congregation bow and curtsy as he passes. Savage's greying blonde hair, which reaches below his earlobes, is parted to one side. Smiling smugly, he slowly walks up a blue carpet towards an ornate throne and an altar adorned with large gold candlesticks. Tall candelabra are at the side. A cleric enters the vestry. English coshes him. English puts on the cleric's garb, including a pointy hood which drowns him. Savage's cloak is removed to reveal a white tunic with a high golden blue collar. He wears gold epaulettes and a blue sash with bejeweled medals pinned to it. He sits in the throne and smiles. English, looking like a member of the Ku Klux Klan, is among the bishops. The archbishop speaks.
Sirs, you are hereby called to witness the anointing of your one true Lord and future King, Pascal. Pascal, are you willing to take the oath?
I am willing.
Then be thou anointed with this holy oil.
He makes a cross on Savage's forehead.
And do you, the chosen bishops of England, Scotland, and Wales, assent to this anointing?
For Scotland, I do.
For Wales, I do.
For England, I do not.
Pegasus is in the congregation.
English.
Outside, crowds watch on a big screen.
That man must not be crowned king, because he is a fraudster, a charlatan, and a thief.
No, please. Let him speak.
It is this man, Pascal Sauvage, who stole the crown jewels, who forced the queen to abdicate, and would kill anyone who got in his way.
What is the end here, English?
Lorna kicks the sniper's rifle out of his hands with her winkle-picker-toed black boot. She whacks him across the face. He kicks her over, then drags her up and throws her onto the floor. She launches a kick at his face.
What's more, this whole ceremony is a sham. Because that man, standing in front of you, is not the Archbishop of Canterbury.
The Archbishop's eyes bulge.
English, your word of advice, don't go there.
Shut it, Frenchie. I'll go wherever I damn well please. Now, take it off.
What?
Your face is made of plastic. Remove it at once.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. Well, I'll just have to remove it myself. Come on.
English grabs the Archbishop by the ears, puts his knee in his chest and pulls.
Right. Maybe it pulls up from the front. Come on, will you?
Vendetta flings Lorna against a wall. She punches him in the stomach and the face and has him spread-eagled over a parapet. He kicks her away. Vendetta seizes his rifle and aims at English. Lorna, at his feet, opens her eyes and kicks him in the groin.
Thank you very much.
She takes the rifle and kicks him unconscious.
We'll join here somewhere.
Fascinating performance as always, Mr. English, but I'm afraid we must move on.
Nobody's moving anywhere until I've finished with this piece of lowlife. Do you or do you not have tattooed on your bottom the words, Jesus is coming, look busy?
Savage gapes good-humouredly.
Are you insane?
Well, let's find out, shall we?
He bends the Archbishop over and pulls up his robes to reveal his large white underpants. English pulls them down. The Archbishop's bare bottom beams out on a large screen in the Abbey and around the world. English looks down at the Archbishop's bottom. Seeing it's blank, he quickly pulls the underpants back up and lowers the elderly man's robes.
All right, so I was wrong about the Archbishop's bottom. But there's more.
But not, I'm afraid, today. Sergeant, please take this man away, but be gentle with him.
You think that's it? What, you think I don't have more evidence? My loyal subordinate is standing by with a DVD which shows Savage's hideous plans for this country.
Get him out! Get him out of here!
Play it, Bob! Play the disc!
Play it! Now!
In a TV control room packed with banks of monitors showing English's face, Boff forces a man to play it at gunpoint. English, in his vest, appears on the Abbey screen looking into his bathroom mirror. He strums his toothbrush, which he also uses as a microphone to mime with. Sauvage looks up at the screen whimsically.
You're so hot, teasing me. So you're blue, but I can't take a chance on a chick like you.
On screen, English pouts, sings and bobs around. The congregation gawps. The family in India watch him on TV. Looking up at the screen, Sauvage casually wags his finger in time to the music as he watches English twirl and jump. English, now wearing a shower cap over his face, approaches the mirror, lifts the cap, makes a silly face and pulls the cap back over again. English, in shorts, thrusts his hips back and forth in the mirror. Pegasus looks up at the screen and rolls his eyes. English scarpers out of the Abbey. The congregation watch the guards give chase. Sauvage, slouched in his throne, shrugs and sits up.
Donc, alors.
He turns to the Archbishop.
Well, shall we?
The disheveled Archbishop takes a deep breath in readiness. English runs along an Abbey corridor and hides in a recess behind a blue velvet curtain. The guards chase past. English, hearing the Archbishop's voice, looks above him and then runs on.
So be thou anointed and consecrated king.
He hands Sauvage the scepter.
Over all the peoples, whom the Lord thy God hath given thee to govern.
English looks down at the scene.
And of all your possessions, wherever they may be.
The Archbishop lifts the crown.
So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
English is up in the gallery.
Crown you.
The crown is inches above Sauvage's head. English swings across on a rope and grabs the crown. He fails to grasp hold of a bar and swings to and fro above Sauvage.
Give it back! No! That is my crown! Never! Give it back!
Never in a million years, Sauvage!
Give it to me! Mea! Salopin!
Sauvage draws a gun from his white-heeled boot. The Prime Minister stands up.
Stupid little country have to do is stand in line and do what it's told for one miserable day. But can it do that? My fragrant French ass, it can!
He points his bum at everyone and jumps up and down. He aims at English and misses. The congregation cower. Sauvage aims at English again. English drops the crown. The bishop catches it.
Give it! Crown, eh? Crown, go!
Sauvage grabs the scepter and orb and urges the Archbishop to continue. Lorna has Sauvage in her rifle sights. English drops from the rope above, knocking Sauvage out of the throne and taking his place.
King!
What?
English, stunned, sits motionless in his ruffled white tux. He squints up at the ermine-trimmed, bejeweled gold crown on his head. The congregation gape, open-mouthed. Outside, the crowd stares silently up at the image of English on a huge screen. Sauvage gives him a murderous look. An idea dawns on the unshaven English as he looks down at Sauvage, who's on the floor. English points towards him.
Arrest that man and lock him away!
Sauvage gives English the evil eye before the guards drag him away. Pegasus stands looking bemused as the smartly dressed congregation, some of the men in uniform, some in morning suits, and all the women in their finery, stand cheering, clapping and waving their hats. English, smiling, majestically nods his thanks to them and shrugs incredulously. Boff appears in the choir boys' gallery. English looks up cheekily and purposely shakes his head to waggle his crown. Lorna appears round a corner. English smiles at her and spreads his arms slightly. She responds with a curtsy. He sighs and looks gooey-eyed. Later, at Buckingham Palace.
Words can hardly express just how much we appreciate everything you've done.
Nothing more than my duty, ma'am.
And in return, is there anything that your queen and country can do for you?
Well, since one is asking, ma'am.
The headlines again. In celebration of her return to the throne, the queen has declared August the 5th a national holiday. And in a private ceremony has conferred a knighthood on the unnamed MI7 agent responsible for foiling the plot of the French businessman Pascal Sauvage. Mr. Sauvage is now awaiting trial for high treason, a crime which still carries the death penalty. If found guilty, he's asked that his brain be donated to medical science to further research into the causes of hypomanic schizophrenia. Meanwhile, the unnamed English agent has left the country and has already embarked on his next challenging mission.
Somewhere in the south of France, the Aston Martin rounds hairpin bends and pulls up, overlooking the sea.
Sir Johnny English.
Her Majesty did seem very grateful.
He removes his shades.
She's not the only one.
English casually presses a button. A silver tray with two dispenser taps and glasses emerges from the dashboard. The glasses fill with champagne.
You are full of surprises.
He moves to kiss her, his arm resting on the control panel of buttons. She shoots out of the car roof in an ejector seat.
Ow!
ITFC audio description by Helen Vasey.
Timmer's fellows from sun up to the moon on his back. Send the villains to Hades, a hit with the ladies, a stallion in the sack. You can't get your laugh back when right follows left, Jack. The more you see, the less you know. When others would leak it, his service is secret. Please, Godwin, it's your time to go. Hey, fellas, don't be jealous.
charismatic, willing on a manic bell, a prematurely shooting his load. Queen of country, safe and sound. Watch out for the mayor for our seasons. Love some and leave some alone. So alone, but safe at home. Country safe and sound, but villains 6 feet underground, and no one knows, cause no one's found any trace of a man for all seasons. Love some and leave some alone, so alone. And you and I wouldn't have a clue who's doing what, why, when and who. Up a creek with no canoe, watch out for the man for all seasons. Love some and leave some alone.